All right, so this thing is mainstream to all the places. We continue our fellowship to the working saints, and let me remind you that we do not want to put a bracket or an age bracket around what we call working saints. So, whereas before
we said something like 5 to 50 or something like that. Well, we like to just get rid of even that. Working saints are working saints. If you work and you're a saint, you're a working saint. And I hope that seemingly small this matter is, I still like to say that because we do not want to any saints to feel that they are excluded by age, and therefore they are somehow not as useful or something like that. We don't want to give even that kind of impression, or that because they're too young, you know. But as long as they're working and so on, so they should be part of this fellowship. After our time, our last time, and that would be the time I actually Skyped in. Many of you were gathered there in here, maybe for you, and a lot there in Burlingame there. I still remember that fellowship very well. And in fact, in August 5th, when we have the perfecting training for all the saints, I actually continue that line of fellowship, if you recall, at least in the first message. And that was touching the matter of the altars. I don't know how much I said here concerning actually eventually the two altars. The altar of the burnt offering in the tabernacle, of course, and then the altar of the golden incense altar, both of which has great significances as we attempt to interpret the tabernacle to understand the spiritual meaning. But today I feel don't have the time to sort of go back. I would suggest that you can get a hold of a subsequent word I gave in Dunloring, Virginia. And that would be last Lord's Day, just this past Lord's Day. I collected a lot of these feelings and burdens from my speaking here in Northern California, and on this matter of consecration, on this matter of the two altars. Of course, the first altar, by the way, is a picture of our consecration, and then the second altar has more to do with our present fellowship. But nevertheless, I gave a word on the two altars based on Psalm 84, and I'm sure you can find a way to access that recording from the brothers there in Dunloring. Do some of you know people in Dunloring or D.C.? The brothers there, you can find them, and then you can pass on that fellowship. Even though I'm not going to get into the altars and this and that in any detail, the fact that those two altars became fresh in me is because of what they practically, experientially signify. And as I said over there, that these two altars eventually are actually entrances or gateways. One into the holy place, and the other one into the holiest of all. If you know that picture of the tabernacle, you have to pass through the altar of the burnt offering in order to experience or enter into the holy place. And you definitely have to go through the golden incense altar in order to enter into the holiest of all. Now, the picture of the tabernacle, besides depicting Christ in all his inclusiveness as God's testimony, right? It's called the tabernacle of the testimony, as God's expression. It also very, very much depicts, according to the book of Hebrews, our Christian experience in our pursuing of Christ, in our spiritual journey, in our growth in life. As we tour and pass through the various stations of this tabernacle and experience the various furnishings in these different stations of the tabernacle, we're in fact going deeper, going further, coming forward, ultimately into God, the enterable God, into God, to be united with Him, to be mingled with Him, and even to be incorporated with Him. So the ultimate goal is clearly the Ark of the Testimony, the mercy seat, the throne of grace, in the holiest place. But these two altars became the necessary entry points or gateways into those deeper experiences. There's no way around it. Now, the first one is really in the first altar, of course, is the cross. We all know that, right? It is the place where Christ died as the unique sacrifice for our redemption. That altar consummates the Lord's earthly ministry. But experientially, the one who offer the offering has to lay his hand on the head of that offering before it is slain and offered and burned. And so that means today we all need to put our hands on the head of Christ. That means we identify with Him. Whatever He goes through, we go through. And whatever is His story becomes our history as well. And so in this Christ, we would join Him. And so in the New Testament, it says we should present ourselves, our bodies, a living sacrifice. A sacrifice now we have all become. Joining Christ to be that great sacrifice for God's enjoyment, for God's satisfaction. And I share that the coming of the fire from the heavens is actually God's acceptance of that sacrifice and God's consumption or God's eating of that sacrifice. The result would be ashes in the human eyes, and yet it will become fragrance to God. I just was laying down up there in the library, and outside the door, or by the door, there's this a nice frame quote of that very famous footnote that that we have concerning the one who broke her alabaster box. You all know this. Throughout the past 20 centuries, how many precious lives? What?
Golden
futures and what?
Treasures.
Something, heart's treasures were wasted in quotes on the Lord Jesus. But to those who know the Lord, that is not a waste, but it's actually a testimony of the Lord's sweetness. I think you all know that that is even turned into some kind of a song. So that's it. And wherever the gospel is preached, the gospel of this woman should be preached as well. So wherever the gospel is preached, the gospel of consecration should be preached as well. So that is a gateway. So so for us today, I would say, talking to the working saints for whom my burden is really your service in the church, your service to the Lord, your function in the church life to build up the church, the local churches, and eventually to build up the body of Christ. This is the gateway. And no matter how many times you have consecrated yourself to the Lord before, we need to consecrate again.
Amen.
Eventually, this altar is not just a place. This altar is not just a one-shot experience. This altar is not even just an event. In Psalm 84, where the two altars were mentioned, it says the sparrows and the swallows, the little birds, right? They found their home in these two places. What does that mean? That means this altar is our dwelling. It's where we live. We live in consecration. We dwell in consecration. Consecration is henceforth our life, and not just an act of consecration. We live in a place called consecration. We live there. And in fact, we take our refuge there, those little birds. This is the safe place. This is the most secure place, a place of consecration. And finally, it is a place where they lay their young. That means this is a place where they raise up their home. This is a place where they beget their offspring. This is their address. So I look to the Lord for truly a generation of working saints among us that really live there. You just live in consecration road or consecration street. You live there. That's where you dwell. And when that is the case, I will tell you the church life will have the kind of feature that we used to have many years ago. And that is, you look at the church life and the saints, humanly all you see is just ashes. Just ashes. Nothing there. Just ashes. Good for nothing. Waste. At the bottom of the altar. Yet, when you go in their midst, you smell something. You detect fragrance. There's something so flavorful, something so sweet for God's enjoyment. For man, they become useless. They wasted themselves. They don't have a career. They don't have this or that. They're just ashes. But to God, they become food.
Amen.
They become His enjoyment and satisfaction. They gave the Lord a drink as He's still fighting in this age before He comes back. This is Psalm 110. The principle is the same. And I long to see this in our church life once more. I do not say that we're not consecrated, because if that's the case, you won't be sitting here. I would not say that. But I feel we need a corporate consecration, a generation of saints who are a corporate living sacrifice. They just live that way. They just are that way. And I will tell you, that kind of testimony is extremely striking, absolutely subduing, and most attractive.
Amen.
I was there in those early years, and I saw that, and by the Lord's mercy, I became part of that.
Amen.
Until today. Until today. But I long to see that once again. In fact, I like to see the kind of consecration among us that would be even more solid, more powerful than even those days. Than even those days. Brothers and sisters, will you be beseeched by by the Lord's compassions through this little speaking to present yourself, what you are, what you have, your possession, your life, your future, your family, your children, your everything to the Lord in this kind of a way? Trust me, there will be very, very powerful results. You know what the result is? Fire will come. There's no bigger thing than fire descending from the heavens. That means God is visiting. God is present. God is coming as fire to eat this sacrifice. He is dying. He is hungry. He is longing for such consecrated sacrifice to become food to Him. God actually does not need you to do anything for Him. Correct? He can do everything. He is God. But somehow God needs strength. God needs provision. God needs food. God needs satisfaction. And somehow we people, the nobodies, the nothings, the sinners, are what He intends to eat. If you are willingly consecrated to Him, He will never come and demand it of you. He will never force anyone, because He has given us all a free will. So only those who willingly break their boxes, only those who willingly lay themselves on the altar, He will come. And when this fire comes, that's it. You cannot argue with fire. You don't need to preach fire. When fire is present, it is present. And fire is only present in one place, and that is that brazen altar, that altar of burnt offering, which is not empty, but there's a sacrifice on it. So I would just like to say this to all of you. If you are and I are like this, there'll be the Lord's recovery will be so strong, so powerful, so dynamic, and so prevailing. And all the things we do, whether it's serving the saints, whether it is taking care of the church life, whether it's preaching the gospel, whether it's caring for people, will have impact and power and effect, because the fuel is there. Now, this afternoon, I must move on, even as important as that matter is, and I hope there will be time to fellowship even more about this. I actually wish we can have a whole weekend to do nothing but talk about the many aspects of a full consecration. Until we are thoroughly consecrated, absolutely consecrated in every way. And you see the difference. You see the difference in your life, Christian life, and you see the difference in your church life. You will see the difference, I guarantee you. (clears throat) 1967, in March of that year, before I came to this country, I consecrated myself to the Lord. Absolutely. To be for the Lord entirely, my time, my everything. And I will tell you, and these are very secret and private experiences that one just does not freely disclose or talk about, because they are too personal and private. But I will just tell you, in principle, that through that most absolute consecration, it's all because of the Lord's constraining love, of course, but through that consecration, right there, that evening, that time of consecration, the fire came to me. Looking back, I very, very clearly received the baptism of the Spirit, which is not some Pentecostal, miraculous tongue-speaking moments. But I cannot deny, and I must confess, I never knew God is that real. And the Spirit is that real. And so there was a immersion of the Spirit that I experienced. And from that point, I was a different person until now. Now, 9 months from that point, I gave you the testimony. I came to Eldon, in Los Angeles. And there I heard my first message in that hall. I told you on this matter of being burned on the altar being place of mingling of God with man, the fire and the sacrifice. And there I experienced a second consecration, and that consecration was not only to the Lord, that consecration was the consecration to the Lord's interest, the Lord's heart. In other words, the consecration to his church and his recovery. So within a period of about 9 months, I experienced two such consecrations in a very, very strong way. And because of that, I attribute very much to that I'm still standing here today, that I'm serving and exercised and doing things that I'm still doing today. Now, but we must move on, and I'd like to move on now, following that thought of the fire, to the second altar. Now, the second altar is a place, it's a picture of the resurrected and ascended Christ, who in his ascension consummated his inaugurated his heavenly ministry. Do you follow me? The first altar at the cross, the Lord consummated his earthly ministry, mainly for redemption. Okay, from incarnation, his living, to his death on the cross. But the second altar, golden altar, started with his resurrection. And in resurrection, all the way to ascension, which is not the end, but rather the inauguration of his heavenly ministry, which he's still carrying on to this day. And that altar burns not the sacrifice, but a particular custom-made perfume or incense, very specially made. And of course, that is all the aspects of this resurrected Christ. And that incense was offered by fire. And in other words, the smoke or the fragrance would go up to the heavens, indicating that that is offered and fully accepted by God. It is in that offering that we are fully received by God in Christ. And so, experientially, that altar is the place of prayer, the place of prayer. And I would actually say it is a place of fellowship through prayer. And prayer, of course, is the highest contact that man can have with God. So one is the fire coming. The other is, you may say, the fire going, right? Or the smoke going up to God. Now, that first altar brought us into the holy place where we enjoy the table, the Christ as food to us, where we enjoy the lampstand of the Lord's light shining and all the wonderful things. But this is still the holy place. This is not yet the holiest of all. So now it takes our being ushered to the second altar before the veil, right, in front of the holy place. And there we would pass through it and to enter into the holiest of all, the center, the deepest part where the Ark of the Testimony is, with the law of the commandments, with the golden pot, right, with the hidden manna, and also with the Aaron's rod that budded, and all that they entail. And the point is, this is where you're fully one with, mingle with the Lord. You're fully incorporated with the triune God. You're fully one with Him. And this would be man becoming God. Am I right?
Amen.
I think you all know these kind of things, but I just want to put this in perspective. And so my burden is this altar. This altar is, in experience, the place of prayer. The place of prayer. But I like to broaden that, the understanding of prayer, the meaning of prayer, to not just a kind of intercessory prayer. You know, prayer, there are many kinds of prayer. Prayer is just a general term. But prayer is more than just intercession. Prayer includes supplication. Am I right? Prayers includes thanksgiving. Correct? And prayers includes praise. Praise is a form of prayer. Prayer includes petition. I refer this morning to Psalm 141, where David said, "Receive the prayer, which is the incense, right, that he offered to the Lord." And in fact, he said, I raise my hands or something. Could you read that again?
Let my prayer be set before you as incense.
As incense. Yeah.
The lifting up of my hands as the evening offering.
Yeah, so clearly, Paul there, not Paul, this is David there, was in the reality of that incense altar. Offering the incense to God in the way of prayer, not physical incense anymore, but prayer to God, and even lifting up of his hands to God. And so, so brothers and sisters, so this is sort of a pictorial introduction to the burden today. The little birds live on in these two altars, consecration and prayer. Today, for us to serve the Lord, for us to be in the Lord's house, in the church, for us to really be functional members in the church life. The other place we need to live in is the place of prayer. The place of prayer. And for this reason, I got into the burden of this outline that you have in your hands, and that is burning in spirit, serving the Lord.
Amen.
Burning in spirit, serving the Lord. Remind you again that that golden incense altar, the place of prayer, or prayer, is the motor, the motor that make everything in the tabernacle work. When that prayer is working, everything works. Everything works. And when that is not working, nothing works. They're just pieces of furniture. But I told some brothers, I said, it is interesting that for that golden incense altar to the work, you need fire.
Right.
Because no fire, you have no way to offer the incense. You burn it, and so you need fire. Where did the fire come from? The fire came from the first altar. They share the same holy fire from the heavens. So, in a way, you can say that, you can put it this way, that that engine, you know, that's the engine that make everything work, needs fuel. And that fuel comes from the first altar. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
In other words, what give us the heart to pray, the fuel to pray, the energy to pray, the burden to pray, the exercise of prayer, comes from is based on our consecration. If you don't have a strong consecration, you don't have the fuel. You don't have the fuel. Even you can pray, your prayer, it could become a formal thing. Just some formal prayer, just from some kind of thing you do. Even in the church life, prayer can be a form. You just pray because you're supposed to pray. You pray something and then that's it. I did my prayer. Because there's no fuel there. There's no fuel. There's no... And secondly, both of these fires, the priests are commanded to keep them burning day and night. That means perpetual, nonstop. There's no in the morning you go and set the fire. No. It is 24/7. They have to add wood, keep adding wood to keep that fire going. And so But without a our strong consecration, there would be no fuel, even for our prayer. Now, this afternoon, I better not get further distracted and get on with this outline. And here, the whole burden, let me just say this, the whole burden about this altar and this prayer, to put it in very, very practical terms, brothers and sisters, is the burning of our spirit, or the exercise of our spirit. Now, this is a term that is familiar to us, exercise your spirit. But I have found in the churches, in many churches, that the reality, the experience, is not that strong, not that prevailing. In other words, the exercise of the spirit is generally weak in the local churches. That's my observation. I don't know about your church, but where I go, now I know it's 3:30 in the afternoon. Sunday afternoon is the best time to sleep. But even coming together here in the beginning, sorry to say, your spirit is weak. It's weak. And I don't think it is because it's 3:30 or 3 o'clock on Sunday merely. I think it is a reflection that we don't live there at that altar. We don't. Because if you do, let's say you live in 24-hour fitness. Let's say you move there and live there. I believe it will show. Huh? I believe it will show that you live in that kind of a place. You know, your muscles will start bulging, your stamina will improve, you trim down, you will have six packs or whatever it is. You lift more weights and because you live there. That's not a place you go there, you know, you cheat, right? You just go there where you feel like it. Or just once a week. You actually live there. Saints, if we live in some place, it will show. Because it's your life. It's your life. Then you look at our meetings. Our meetings in the church life, our Lord's table, our prayer meetings, and even in our home and small group meeting. I just am in so many of these kind of meetings where it is so dead. Dear saints, these are dear saints. Now, even if they come already, you praise the Lord, but they come to sit. And so those poor elders or leading ones, they have to do something because they cannot leave it like that. So they would just try to fill in with something, sing a few more songs. And so the Lord's table many times become what I call a sing-along. Just calling him after him to fill time because there's no spirit. The spirit is just like flat, like when a patient died, flatlined. Death, flatlined. I've been in meetings where literally after a few praise, a song, no one would say anything, not even an amen for the longest time at the Lord's table. Nothing. You couldn't even do something to make something happen because there's zero strength. a flatline spirit. It's like that. And I told the brothers, the more we're in this state, our tolerance for that kind of death goes up. That means we all are more fortified with a tolerance of silence, of death, of no spirit. We're quite okay anymore. Let me tell you, in the old days, back to the old days again, we have zero tolerance for death. And that is not by magic, not by something. That is by all the saints, just 24-hour fitness. You know, all the saints, as far as the spirit is concerned, just pumping, just exercising, you know, enlivening one another, not allowing death to take over, but rather releasing the spirit, to enliven one another's spirit, to encourage one another. Amen. In those days, you know, when a brother is kind of dead, we say, brother, what happened to you? Exercise your spirit. Amen. Today, you would be interfering with his rights. You know? I have a right to be dead. Don't you? Don't you do that to me. I have every right to be dead. This is a country of rights. You know, suicide is a right, they say. I have a right to be dead. Brothers, I'm joking a little bit, but as another example. You know, you don't know how far we have fallen. You don't know, because you were not there. And I'm not using the past as a golden standard. No, I'm not using that as a golden standard. But I'm saying even relative to the past, so many years ago, we have regressed, collectively, the church life. And many of you younger ones who did not know that, what that was, you don't know quite what I'm talking about. So you don't have a kind of a benchmark. What are you talking about? I think this is great. This is not dead. This is wonderful. But to me, it's dead. But to you, it's quite living. Different standards. Because you have not seen what was possible. Amen. Now, I don't want to drag you back to the old days. I have no such intention. My burden rather is we need to do something amongst us. Now, no angel will come and do something. There's no need to ask the Spirit to fall on us again like the Pentecostals. Because the Spirit has been given to us. Amen. Am I right? Yes. The sevenfold Spirit has been sent forth to the whole earth.
Amen.
We have been what? Baptized in one Spirit into one body.
Amen.
Am I right?
Hallelujah.
We have received the Holy Spirit. We have. But what's wrong? What's missing? Then the prayer meetings. Prayer meetings. My. What a drag. You know, you got these points, you know. Pray for Germany. And my goodness, you can feel the burden. We have to just wade through these points and many times in a prayer meeting, after some minutes, no one can pray anymore because they don't have the strength. They don't have the strength to pray. Now, sometimes in the home meetings, there's so little spirit that the meeting descends to a place of talk. Just talk. Just socializing. Hey, how's business? How's your week? Oh, you say, well, didn't Brother Lee tell us we should just kind of talk and shepherd or cherish one another? He said that, but he said that's where you start. But the whole night is just talking. There's no spirit to even sing a song. There's no real fellowship. There's no let's pray. It's just talk. Talk, and even some descend into talk of politics. Are you for Trump? What do you think about Trump? Huh? What do you think? That's our whole meeting. And then at the end, lamely, we maybe sing a song to close, or something like that. And dessert time. The end of the meeting is the happiest hour, because we can be free now and just live like we want to do, and resume a chit chat and. Brothers, let me tell you, I may be exaggerating a bit here, but I believe you know what I'm talking about. That is so wrong. So wrong. You say, what is the solution? What is the solution? Well, there's no magic bullet here. There's no, some magic solution here that I know of. So I'm struggling in giving these kind of messages from the most basic things of consecration, am I right? Now, of the exercise of the Spirit. I don't know any other way. So in those years, not only we were inspired, moved, and constrained to consecrate ourselves to the Lord, and even to deal with the world and clear our past, to really live a sanctified life in the church. We live that way. We live there. Then, at the same time, we live at the other altar. And that is, we live in a place that is in constant contact with the Lord. Amen. A place we're in constant fellowship. Amen. With the Lord Jesus. Amen. A place that requires us to have a constant exercise of our spirit.
Amen.
You know, prayer is a top exercise of our spirit.
Amen.
You cannot pray a real prayer. And I don't mean read some prayer. I don't mean formalistically go through some prayer. I mean really pray, touching the Lord. Calls for the exercise of the Spirit. So I identify this as an intrinsic problem among us. And that is the decrease, the reduction, the regression in the exercise of our spirit. Something that lazy people don't want to hear because of the word exercise. But I can easily point out to you that this exercise is key to the outworking of God's economy. Where? In Timothy. Bodily exercise profits little. But the exercise of godliness.
Amen.
Profits not only this life, but even the life to come. So that word exercise is the root word for gymnastics. Gymnastics. Now you know gymnastics, right? I mean, you see these little girls, 15-year-old flipping all over the place, you say, I can do that. Well, try.
Yeah.
I mean, the hours, the time, the way they sprain their ankles, the way they break their bones, whatever, I don't know what happens. I mean, the amount of time they have to do that in order to do that flip properly, to do that, right? To do those bars, to do those whatever. I mean, it's exercise. And so Paul, in those days, of course, because of the Greek, they have this kind of a, they worship the human body and all that kind of stuff. So they're into these exercise things. And so Paul used that as an analogy. godliness, I'm talking about godliness, I'm talking about expressing God, living Christ, I'm talking about the great mystery of godliness, the church, the house of the living God, all of that boils down to what? Exercise. If godliness is not possessed by wishing, by waiting. Godliness comes to you by your exercise. Not only your exercise, your fervent exercise. Your deliberate, zealous exercise that makes you live Christ. So, the next message, I already have it to talk to you. I even not have made the outline, but I made it in my head. It's called active passive. I'm going to shoot down some religious concept that made us passive, that make us passive Christians. No overcomer is passive. You don't slide into the kingdom. No one carries you there. The violent takes the kingdom by force. We have lost this spirit. And so everything is just down, 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 dumbed down as far as the spiritual exercises are concerned. And topmost of which is prayer. And all the things that are related to prayer. Even our singing, let me tell you, even our singing is a kind of praise to the Lord. Am I right?
Right.
Even our singing, check the singing.
Yeah.
Check our church meeting. It's just a form. It's just a formality. It's just going through the motions. The heart is absent. Forget the spirit. Even the heart is not there. And so there's no life giving. There's no enlivening. And after a while, even we lose taste for it. We don't want to come to the meetings. We don't want to come to the Lord's table. We have to do it because the Lord told us to. But other than that, it's no fun. You know? And even I found that the church life is not so distinguished by joy. You know what I mean? A lot of morose countenance and depression. You know, today the biggest disease is depression. And I think since Trump went to the Oval Office, the psychiatrists are making a lot of money, you know. People are full of anxiety and all of that. Dear ones, I'm very burdened about this matter, and this is no laughing matter. I speak to the working saints because you are the backbone or the core or whatever you want to call it, the key part of the church life. It's got to be present with you.
Amen.
Then the church life has a future. Then the church life will be strong.
Amen.
And this man standing here, this is my 50th anniversary of stepping into the Lord's recovery on my own. 50 years now. This man, getting old, I admit it, no problem. I am still exercising.
Amen.
I'm still living in 24-hour fitness.
Amen.
I swim for exercise. I do. I mean, really swim. And I do nowadays this high-intensity interval training. You can do it at your own home, you know, 10 minutes at a time. But you go all out in intervals. You pump your heart rate to whatever. And the theory is that the benefit you reap from that kind of exercise is more than an hour long of kind of frolicking in the water, you know. No, that doesn't help you. You have to do interval, and you go all out. You go all out in intervals with little rest in between. So this man, in order to live longer, is doing this exercise. Trust me, just like you, I don't like to do it. I hate it. But when I think about I want to live longer, I start doing it. But I don't want to just live longer to live longer.
Right.
I want to live longer to serve the
Amen.
Lord,
Amen.
To serve His church.
Amen.
That motivates me. Dear brothers and sisters, I hope there is a true incentive here. And I cannot give you the incentive. I'm not the Lord. Only the Lord Himself, the vision, of what He wants, His heart's desire, that is what gave me the incentive to still go at it.
Amen.
So in the meetings, I'm louder than many young people.
Yeah.
They're like this morning in your Lord's table.
Yeah.
Am I right?
Right.
And that's not my performance. Nat, trust me, I know I was not performing. Oh, I'm in Sacramento. I better put on a good show. Trust me, I don't perform.
Right.
That's how I am.
Amen.
And that's from many, many years of consistent doing it. So at my age, I still have a few muscles, you know, to show. It is cumulative. It becomes a habit. I live there. At least I learn to live there at that altar. I hope this morning I fought the internet, right?
Yeah.
This morning I fought the smartphone. Am I right? Not because they're inherently bad. They're technology. They're useful. But because it's killing us.
Yeah. Right.
It's killing us. In the way of just getting all our attention with all the things that have nothing to do with God, with the Lord, with the spiritual things, consuming our time. Talk about why this waste. This is real waste. And yet, our time with the Lord, our time in fellowship, our time of prayer, our time of exercising is diminished. You can wish the church will be strong, but the church will not be strong as far as we live this way, as long as we live this way. Impossible. It defies logic. It defies cause and effect. And it defies even the spiritual principles that God has laid out. The whole active-passive, some of you kind of scratching your head, is one of the top divine principle in God's work, in God's salvation of man. That means it's both passive and active. Just give you an example. Just one example. Okay. Paul charged Timothy, be empowered.
Amen.
In his grace, right?
Amen.
Let me tell you what is that? I said, brother, be empowered. Mm. How you do that? How do you be empowered?
Amen.
Be empowered seemed to me to say that the power is not from me. Otherwise, I will say, power up.
Mm.
Now, that's active, right? But Paul didn't say. Paul says, be empowered in his grace or by his grace. That shows the power, means the power source is not you. That's right. Am I right?
Right.
That's scriptural. The power is, grace is our power.
Amen.
But it does say, be empowered.
Amen.
Now, what are you going to do? Don't power up. You don't have the source of fuel, of power. God, the grace is the power. But I say, be empowered, Timothy. What are you supposed to do? You should just say, okay, be empowered. Okay, I'm here waiting to be. I'm waiting to be empowered. I'm still not, but I'm waiting. Because you said, be empowered. Well, grace has not come yet. Do you get the point?
Amen.
What should I do when you say, be empowered, brother?
Amen.
What?
Amen.
What should I do?
Amen.
To use our present parlance,
right.
is to exercise the spirit. Let me just say this. I should aggressively take grace.
Amen.
Because grace is the power.
Right.
But grace given to us, installed in us,
Amen.
Like the power plant with a zillion watts of electricity, still need me to flip the switch.
Amen.
Am I right?
Amen.
Still need me to move that whatever, what do you call it? For the connection to be made. Am I right?
Right.
It's plugged in, it's installed, the power is just humming. Be in power.
Amen.
So that the lights can turn on, the heat can go on, you know. Amen. You still need to flip the switch.
Amen.
Brothers, this is active passive. It's not you who can be strong.
Right.
Only grace can enable us.
Right.
Am I right? But you have to take grace. You have to exercise to receive grace.
Amen.
To enjoy the grace.
Amen.
To apply the grace.
Amen.
Then you are strong.
Amen.
Then you become empowered. Christians, either one way or the other. Some just say, become passive. Well, unless God does it, nothing will happen. That's the extreme. Total passivity. Some over here offer strange fire. You know, they power up on themselves, and before long they just what?
Burn out.
So both are extremes. We're here in the middle. It's called active passive.
Amen.
But my point this afternoon is the passive must be, the wonderful passive, must be matched by an equally wonderful active. And that's the exercise of the Spirit. God is not asking us to climb to the heavens. But God is asking you, please flip the switch.
Amen.
God is not demanding that you be strong by yourself. He alone is the source of strength. But He is saying, I'm already in your spirit.
Amen.
Why don't you call on my name? Why don't you pray? Why don't you touch me? Why don't you take me? And then I can supply you and you can enjoy that strength. Brothers, this sounds like ho-hum. This sounds like that's easy. But brothers, in our living, in our practice, I see a general going down to I don't know where. I just cannot stand it. I tell you, sometimes I cannot stand it. Why saints who love the Lord, they're for the church, they, you know, dear ones, but not a whimper from them. No exercise. Dead. I don't know why. All right. So with that, shall we come here?
Amen.
Huh? I'm going to get out of here by 5. You don't need to worry. If you don't kick me out, I will kick out myself. Okay. Because I need to get on the plane. All right. Burning in spirit, serving the Lord. Burning.
Amen.
All right. The key here is not just to have a little flicker. I like to see the Sacramento Church burning.
Amen.
Not just kind of warm, right? Or lukewarm, worse yet. But burning. That word burning, according to Romans 12:11, is the word boiling.
Amen.
Boiling. You know, boiling is what? Boiling is not just hot water. Boiling is the word, you know what I mean? 208 degrees. When the bubbles start to come out, that's boiling. It's not just hot. It's boiling. Boiling in spirit, serving the Lord.
Amen.
Okay, and we're going to get into that as we go through. Okay, let's read one together. With an exercise spirit,
yeah?
Even it's 4:40, exercise the spirit. I know that the whole world and the whole atmosphere is to depress you, to make you shut up, to make you not exercise the spirit. So every time when you exercise the spirit, you've got to fight. My experience, every time I got to fight, I got to do this. Do you do weightlifting, any of you? You know, they do sets, right? They do sets. And they have to do it to the point where they literally will collapse. Then they stop. Then you get the benefit. If you just go like this, 2.5 pounds every week, it's not doing anything. It's just making you psychologically feel a little better, right? Brothers, what's your strength? See, that's why many of us cannot bear the Lord's burden. You cannot bear the burden of prayer. You cannot pray long enough. You just pray 3 minutes and you are zonked out. You have no more breath. You didn't build up a strong spirit. And without a strong spirit, you cannot serve the Lord. It says, do not be slothful in zeal, but burning in spirit, serving the Lord. The opposite of this boiling is actually what? Laziness in the spirit. Slothfulness in the spirit. And you cannot serve, at least not in a well-pleasing way, to God. God is spirit. The only way to serve Him is by our spirit.
Amen.
All right, we better just read. Please read one with a good spirit. God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truthfulness. I'd like to ask the brothers to read it, okay?
Amen.
All right, how about brothers just come across? You see, even in the meeting, he's speaking, I fall asleep. I tell you, in the old days, the meeting hums. I mean, even our amens are humming. Today the meeting is just flat. In those days, even when there's no sound, you can feel the Spirit humming in the saints. No one is asleep. All right, go.
Amen. Everyone who seeks to serve God must serve Him in a spirit that bears the same quality as His spirit.
Amen.
It's very, very clear, right?
Amen.
And these hymns are worth singing. Very clear. God is spirit, and God cannot accept, and He's not able to accept our service from any other source except from our spirit.
Right.
If you don't serve in your spirit, that Paul say, I serve God in my spirit in the gospel of His Son, it goes nowhere. It's a bunch of empty exercise. Just like Catholic Church, they do this, they light the candles, they do this. It's a bunch of what? Rituals. Goes nowhere. God doesn't even see it. But when we exercise our spirit, even when we arrange chairs, that's what will be a worship to God.
Amen.
Okay, next.
Amen. John 4 tells us that God is spirit.
Amen.
And John 3 says that which is born of the Holy Spirit in a Christian is His spirit.
Amen.
Only the spirit begun of the Holy Spirit
is qualified to serve God.
Amen.
Can serve God who is spirit.
Amen.
So you cannot serve God with your great mind. You say, I have a great mind. I know a lot. Even I know a lot of truth in the Bible. Even that. But if you don't serve from your spirit, in your spirit, that goes nowhere.
Amen.
That goes nowhere.
Amen.
All right, next. The only faculty in us that serves God is our spirit.
Amen.
Of course, eventually with our heart, with our emotion, but I'm talking about the source of our service is our human spirit. Okay,
amen.
Go.
If we are willing to exercise our spirit,
amen. We're willing.
Amen.
Amen.
That is to worship and serve in spirit.
Amen.
We will be filled with the spirit.
Amen.
And the words that we speak will be the flowing of the spirit as rivers of living water.
Amen.
Brother, shall we stand up and throw stones at a weak spirit?
Amen.
Shall we condemn it?
Amen.
And not tolerate it?
Amen.
I don't mean we go around and, accuse people. But I mean, throw the stone at our own weak spirit and not allow it and not make excuses for it.
Amen.
It's wrong. It's plain wrong.
Amen.
For us in the recovery who want to serve the Lord to not use our spirit.
Amen.
It's not right. Okay, all right.
We must exercise our spirit to pray regularly until we can pray in any place.
Amen.
And at any time.
Amen.
This is the way for our spirit to be enriched
and strengthened. Amen.
For our service to be uplifted.
Amen. And for the church to be built up.
Amen.
I think you all need to go back and reread this thing. We must exercise our spirit. No other way. No other magic bullet. No solution. Start exercising your spirit.
Amen.
So until it can pray in any place, at any time, not affected by the environment, not affected by who's staring at you, not caring for our face, we just care for the Lord.
Amen.
So sometimes you have to even get crazy. Beside yourself.
Amen.
No one who has never been beside themselves really knows the Lord. Yeah. Okay. Let's read 2. Do not be slothful in zeal, but burning in spirit, serving the Lord. Oh, I hope this will be a big banner here, and you, the church, will pray this, and you will all become this.
Amen.
No burning, no serving.
Amen.
To serve is to burn.
Amen.
How about that?
Amen.
To serve is to burn.
Amen.
So don't be lazy with the spirit. Don't. And this thing makes us lazy, huh? This thing is designed to make us lazy. So all you need is a thumb to kind of click it and some droopy eyes to look at it. That's it. That's all. It's turning the whole world into a bunch of zombies, especially our young people. Our young people, that's all they know. Even the head is crooked. Just. I don't know what they're doing. I don't know what movies they're watching or what. They're not even watching it. I don't know. They're another world. So today, let me tell you, they already have surveyed. We have depression in this country like never before. Right. And they attribute a lot, there are other things, a lot to this. They don't even know how to relate to people. They don't know how to socialize. They just know this. They just know how to virtually contact each other. And they live in a depressed state. And those who are already predisposed to depression genetically and that way, this only just further that and accelerate that. Brothers, I'm telling you, even medically, this thing kills us. And it is killing our Christian life and it's killing our church life. By reducing our spirit, our exercise of our spirit, where we see, we touch life. Okay. Please, brother. A. Read A.
A presented body, a transformed soul, and a burning spirit.
Amen.
All three are indispensable to the proper church life.
Amen.
Okay, presented body, that's consecration. Then a transformed soul.
Amen.
And then a burning spirit. Love. Let's see what that means. 1.
Amen. After we have presented our body for the church life, it is very easy for us to fall into the opinions of our mind in our soul, which results in our being damaged in the church life.
See? Okay, let's read all three.
Amen.
All three.
Therefore, our soul, and particularly the mind of our soul, needs to be transformed.
Amen. Okay, 3.
However, once our mind is transformed, we may easily fall into negative and dormant states. At that time, we must be burning in spirit,
Amen.
That we may be stirred up and encouraged to go on in the church life in a positive way.
Amen.
So here I'm going to say something practical. You know, in the church, we have the best truth, the highest truth. You know, I just came down from resting in our library, your library here. I mean, I was just looking at the wall to wall of books, the best. Let me tell you, they are the best, bar none. And when the collected works of Witness Lee come out next year, finished, it will be 13 linear feet. With books put this way, not this way, not this way. 13 linear feet. That's not including the life studies. And that's not Watchman Nee. That's Witness Lee only.
Amen.
Yes, amen.
Amen.
But let me tell you, and today we have seven feasts, we have the trainings, all of us have a lot of truth within us, and those who've gone to the full-time training, book after book. But let me tell you the danger here, the peril here, that you can have all these highest and best truths, and they are the highest and the best. And I minister that along with the brothers. So I'm not downplaying that. But I'm giving you a warning, not just a warning, of what is already happening. That after a while, these truths, they do renew our mind, because it's the Word of God. And even render us a measure of transformation. They do. They really do. And we need to read. We need to study. So I'm for that. Absolutely. Now you're reading, what, 2 life studies a week? I'm absolutely 1,000% for that. But I'm saying that concurrently, it is possible that this knowledge of this truth, which in essence are not bad, but it could cause us to fall into a negative state or a dormant state. So that you think that just because you possess this truth, you're fine. You're good. When actually that's not the case. You can know so much, but be so dead. Brother Lee, sat at the brethren's feet, the Newton side of the brethren, for 7 years in his hometown, Chifu. 7 years. He got all the best teaching of the brethren. And you know, today, all the life study, all the things, is because he had that kind of foundation. Let me tell you that. All right? He had that foundation. But he got so dead after 7 years that he has to go up to the mountain and cry out to God, what does all this mean? All this knowledge. I'm so dead. And he cried out to the Lord. And it was over a period of time, of that kind of time in the mountain on a hill with the Lord, that he got spiritually revived.
Amen.
Dear ones, today, as I among the churches, I just see many saints. They know the truth. They're for the truth. And they know the word. But sorry to say, they're dormant. They're dormant. They couldn't do much spiritual things. They have no energy to function, to serve, to preach the gospel, to shepherd, to bear fruit. They're just happy, I got it. And they think actually, because they know, and they know more, that they're advancing. Give you another example. Morning revival, what we call morning revival. So you open the book, and then you have a couple of verses, and then a box, and then the rest here. There's saints today that actually just read through all of this with a highlighter and close it. I've done my morning revival. This morning it talks about this. I was so touched by that. And yet, actually, they just receive a bit of inspiration and light they were not revived. They didn't touch the Lord. They got some light. They got some inspiration. They got a point. And some even just do the morning revival so they have something to say on Sunday, as if that's why they do the morning revival. Brothers, these are just a few examples. I want to tell you, we are short of the Spirit. We're short of a burning Spirit. How good it is! We are full of truth, but yet our spirit is on fire.
Amen.
You see how powerful that will be?
Amen.
Actually, without a burning Spirit, after a while, your knowledge will become just dead knowledge. It will not be digested and assimilated by you. All right? Okay, please go on because of time.
We must not be passive and slothful in exercising our spirit.
Amen.
We should be diligent to rise up and exercise our spirit.
Amen.
It's as plain as it gets, right?
Amen.
Rise up and exercise.
Amen.
There's no other way. Now, let's go on.
In order to be burning in spirit, we need to call, oh Lord.
Amen.
If we call for 10 minutes, our spirit will be burning.
Amen.
That's my suggestion this morning to the church in Sacramento.
Yes.
Take the next week, take the next 4 weeks and try this and get some time out of that. You know, 10 minutes away from this will not kill you. But 10 minutes with the Lord will resurrect you.
Amen.
You're not losing anything. Anything. Just because you don't know what on earth is happening at 4:37 in Washington, D.C. You don't need to know that. That will depress you probably. You need to what? Take 10 minutes and just call on the Lord. I just like to walk myself in my own practice. I don't sit there in my rocking chair. I like to walk. Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord. In the beginning, you're kind of half in your mind. You know what I mean? Like, this is crazy, you know. But you, oh, Lord Jesus. Lord. Oh, Lord. And after a while, soon, that calling, you're touching something. You're being revived. And then that calling will become louder. That calling will become stronger. That calling will lead you even to be the beginning of some confession and repentance and prayer or whatever it may be. Do that for 30 minutes every day, like a high intensity interval training style.
Amen.
That means go all out. Don't frolic in the water. You know? Frolic in the water. That makes you feel good. It doesn't build you up.
Amen.
Right? And don't take 1 pound and kind of move about. Dear saints, try to go all out.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah. You may say, I'm crazy. You're making too physical. Let me tell you, it's pretty physical.
Amen.
You got to use your spirit.
Right.
You got to use your heart. And you got to use your mouth.
Amen.
Love the Lord thy God, your God, with your whole heart, your whole mind, your whole soul, even with all your strength.
Amen.
Even your physical strength.
Amen.
Is to love Jesus.
Amen.
Yeah. So call with your mouth. I mean, I cannot distill to the more simple way than to call on the Lord. Oh Lord. Oh, I mean, this is not calling on Lincoln. This is not calling on Abraham. This is calling on the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember the 4 meetings on calling? This is Jubilee. Am I right? Remember the Lord? Remember his name? Jesus? Remember his name? Christ? And there are many other names in the Bible that is ascribed to him. Call on his name. And be saved.
Amen.
I will guarantee you, 10 minutes later, you would at least be in a better state than if you're 10 minutes on that thing.
Amen.
That I can guarantee you.
Amen.
And hopefully, you will get slowly addicted to this.
Hallelujah.
Just like you were addicted to that.
Amen. Hallelujah.
And hopefully one day I'm praying to the Lord for myself, I will get fully unaddicted to that.
Amen.
And just addicted to God.
Amen.
Spend that time. Start your exercise there.
Amen.
Start the 24-hour fitness there.
Amen.
All right? Okay, D. Who's D? D.
Amen.
Yes.
The Lord is the real and living spirit.
Yes.
As we call, he has a consuming fire. We're burning us.
Amen.
Causing us to be on fire.
Amen.
You be careful. If you call too much, you will start burn. You will start to burn. And you will come, run to the meeting to burn.
Amen.
Something is happening.
Amen.
And it's real.
Amen.
And it's real. That calling is the flipping of the switch.
Right.
The fire is from him.
Amen.
But you have to flip the switch.
Right.
Better to keep the flip the switch on.
Amen.
And put a tape there. Huh?
Amen.
Until we're somewhere, right?
Amen.
Okay. All right. Go on. Let's read three together. For which cause
I remind you to stand in the flame the gift of God,
which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of power, but of power and of love and of sober-mindedness. Flame. Fans of flame. Okay. Could you continue, sister, and read? A.
God surely has given us something.
Right.
The eternal life and the divine spirit, which are both God himself.
Amen.
Do you have that? Do you have that, saints?
Yes. Amen.
Do you have the divine spirit?
Amen.
Do you have eternal life?
Amen.
It's a free gift.
Amen.
But you still have to open it.
Amen.
You have to put in the batteries, okay? B.
We may say that the gift of God, which we must fan into flame, is a spiritual gift. But without our spirit, how could we have the gift?
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
Go on.
The spiritual gift is in our spirit.
Amen.
There is fire in our regenerated spirit.
Amen.
Which is indwelt by the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Actually, we may say that our spirit is the fire.
Amen.
So actually, in a way, we can say that the spirit is the fire. Is the fire. So when we say, fan the gift, it's to what? It's to stir up our spirit. You say, I don't know what gift I have. You don't need to know. It's quite all right. You don't need to know. You just make sure your spirit is burning. When your spirit is burning, that gift will be manifested. And we all have different gifts. We all have different gifts. But start with lighting the fire and fanning the flame. Okay? Next, brother.
If we get into 2 Timothy 1:6-7, we will see that the fanning of our gift into flame is the fanning of our spirit into flame.
Amen.
Oh, brothers, get your fan out.
Right.
Every meeting, get your fan out.
Amen.
Just start fanning.
Amen.
Don't say, oh, I know this point, I know that point. Start to fan.
Amen.
My, start to burn. And first you fan yourself, then fan someone next to you. I mean, get the whole church burning.
Amen.
On fire.
Amen.
I tell you, then all the furniture will work. All the truth will work.
Amen.
Everything will work.
Amen.
Otherwise, nothing works.
Right.
Nothing works. Okay, go on, brother.
The easiest way for us to fan our spirit is to open up our mouth.
Amen.
Isn't that simple, brothers?
Yes.
But we won't do it, right? So please use your mouth. Right? Use your mouth. The Lord made us to have mouth to exercise our spirit. It's hard to have a mouth tape and exercise my spirit. Try it. How do you do it? You know, I was with these Japanese dumb and deaf saints. They have a whole bunch of them in Tokyo. They can't hear, they can't speak. So they were sitting around, the brother translating the message in sign language, you know. And I was touched to tears. all of them, some sisters, some brothers. I was just touched to tears. I mean, they cannot vocalize. They you know what I mean. They're deprived of this faculty that we have healthily, and yet they're doing their best to in those kind of inaudible. I mean, in those kind of unrecognizable sounds. It's almost like speaking in tongues. No understanding. I don't know what they're saying, except by their gesture, by their eyes. You know what I mean? Brothers, if they are like this, we are born with a healthy mouth. We won't use it. Or we use it to do something else. Brothers, this is not right. The Lord gave us a mouth not for that. Give us a mouth to pray, Amen. To call, Amen. To praise Him, to sing, yes. to speak on His behalf.
Amen.
Okay, go on.
We want to fan our spirit into flame.
Amen.
We need to open up our mouth.
Amen.
Open up our heart.
Amen.
Open up our spirit.
Amen.
We need to open these three layers of our being.
Amen.
What three layers? Open up our
mouth.
Open up our
heart.
And open up our
spirit.
Open up. And brothers, let me tell you, this is also a matter of practice becoming habit.
Amen.
Some of us have gotten already into a habit of not using our spirit. So even when you think about, you say, you even your mind tells you, you don't need it. You don't even have the habit, the tendency to use your spirit.
Right.
Because of after many years of non-use.
Right.
Non-use. It's rusty. It's not working. So you got to start again. Get it going again. Get it okay. And dehabitualize yourself from that non-use of the Spirit. Really, brothers and sisters, I really mean that. It can, just like speaking can become a habit, not speaking can also become a habit. All right? So let's go on.
We have to use our mouth to say, "Oh, Lord Jesus."
Amen.
But then, to go deeper by using our mouth with our heart
yeah.
to say, "Oh,
Lord Jesus."
Then we need to go
even deeper.
By using our mouth with our heart and
with our spirit.
Say,
"Oh, Lord Jesus." Right?
Amen.
And not just hear, "Oh, Lord Jesus," a few times. Go home. Go to the hill. Go to your backyard. Go to somewhere no one can hear you. And really call. Really call. Call until you're in the heavenlies.
Amen.
Call until you forgot your name.
Right.
I mean it. I mean it. Okay, F. Next, F.
To have a flame, we need to let that draft come in through opening up to the Lord.
Draft.
Amen.
Every morning, we need to bring in that draft by fanning the gift of God into flame.
Amen.
That's real morning revival, not reading two paragraphs. It is draft. Drafty. You open your spirit, fan, and the draft will come, and the fire will burn. You may not remember all the points, but you are on fire.
Amen.
You are set ablaze in your spirit.
Amen.
Right? Okay, G.
All the saints in the Lord's recovery need to fan into flame the gift of God which is in them.
Yes,
Amen.
In them.
However, in the meetings, many saints seem to throw away the fan, especially in the meetings of the church. We need to fan into flame the gift which is in us.
Amen. Amen.
Okay, not only yourself, but when you come to the meeting, promise me you will not throw away your fan. Well, bring your fan, okay? And don't set it aside and use your fan, which is your will. Am I right? The God has not given us a spirit of what?
Power.
Of a chicken. God has given us rather a spirit of, number one, power, the will. Number two,
love.
The sober-mindedness, the love. And number three, sober-mindedness, the mind. So, all three parts, but the first part is the will. That tells us, the key thing in this matter of exercise of the spirit is our human will. When your will decides, you will exercise. You don't wait until you feel to exercise by your emotion. Or your mind says, It's a good idea to exercise because it will never happen. I tell you, use your will. I'm coming to the meeting to serve the Lord. This is the Lord's table, a time to praise Him,
amen,
to sing, to exercise, or this is prophesying time, to speak for Him, or the prayer meeting to pray. Whatever it may be, full of opportunities for all of us to exercise, we will use our will to fan that into flame.
Amen.
Even when you came to the meeting, you're kind of little, you know, like this. It's okay. Many of us are like this, kind of lukewarm. But when we sit down, I fan, you fan, he fans, I tell, until there's a bonfire.
Amen.
The end of the meeting should be a fire then.
Amen.
And we will be so satisfied. I tell you, the Lord is served.
Amen.
The Lord is served by our burning spirit.
Amen.
Not just by our going through some program. Okay, four, quickly. The spirits of the prophets are subject to the
prophets.
I won't comment too much because of time. Please read all the points, one by one.
The way for Christians to meet is not to conform regulations, programs, and so forth, but just to exercise the Spirit.
Amen.
That's the way we should meet.
Amen.
We have no forms.
Right.
But sometimes I wish we have some because we're so dead. At least we have some forms to prop things up.
We
don't have that, so we get even, we are even worse than sometimes the Catholic Church. We have no form, neither do we have the Spirit. They at least have some form. Saints, we need the Spirit.
Amen.
No forms, but full of the exercise of the Spirit. Sister, next.
The key, the secret of our meeting together is the exercise of our regenerated human spirit.
Amen.
Here's the secret. You want the secret? Here's the secret. See, sister?
1 Corinthians 14:32 is the strongest proof. Verse 31 tells us that we can all prophesy.
Amen.
And verse 32 follows by telling us that prophesying is just an exercise of our spirit.
Amen.
It is not to wait the Spirit pushes us.
Yeah.
Because the spirits of prophets are subject to prophecy.
Okay, I'm going to tell you the key word in this line is wait. In a negative way. Yeah, the word wait. Negatively. Positively, not to wait. See, this is where active passive comes in. Many of us believe in waiting. Or are inclined to wait. When actually, the matter of exercise of the Spirit, we don't need to wait for the Spirit to do something. Because our spirit is subject to us. We're in control of our spirit. So you decide to use your spirit. You decide. Tonight, I am going to use my spirit to pray. That's it. I make the decision. I'm come. I sit down and I start praying. I don't wait. I don't wait for the spirit to fall. I don't wait for some strange thing to happen. I just use my spirit. I don't even wait for inspiration. Let me tell you, when you take the lead to exercise the spirit, inspiration follows. As a minister of the Lord's word, I have too much experience of that. The word didn't come. I just by faith begin to speak, exercise my spirit, then the word comes. But if I don't exercise, that inspiration will never come. The inspiration comes from the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is mingled with my spirit. And when I exercise my spirit, that Holy Spirit is activated. And that inspiration will take place. Try that. Try that, brothers and sisters. It's very, very real. It's a great principle here. Next, brother.
As a prophet, if we do not take the initiative, if our spirit would not move, then the Holy Spirit has
no way out.
We must take the initiative and exercise our spirit.
The key word, obviously, is initiative. It's like the Holy Spirit is inside saying, Q, please let me out. You're imprisoning me. You're just locking me up in here. I want to come out to feed the saints, to supply the saints, to water the saints. I am that living water that is what? the rivers of living water waiting to come out. But Hugh would not. Hugh was just in his mind. No. This is all psychological. So he sits there, and the spirit is what? Quenched. That's the biblical word. Quench not the spirit. He just quenched the spirit. He grieved the spirit. That is in Ephesians. Quench is in Thessalonians. Grief is in Ephesians. He grieved the spirit. And you don't know, all of us, how much we quench the spirit and make the spirit sad.
Amen.
Lock him up. He wants to be released.
Amen.
He wants to minister to the church.
Amen.
God doesn't not do it from the heavens. He does it through his people, the members of Christ's body.
Amen.
But you prevent him from coming out. So don't blame the meeting that the meeting is dead because God didn't show up. This is a very, very important thing. Next. Yeah, F.
We need to learn the secret of speaking
yes.
in order to be in the Spirit.
Yes.
Christians are
speaking people.
Amen.
Every Christian must be one who speaks.
Amen.
This means that we need to speak in our daily life.
Amen.
Day by day, we need to speak.
Amen.
Listen, not only we don't pray, we don't even speak. We become a bunch of quiet people. Very good people, by the way. Very nice people. Gentlemen and ladies. But all quiet. Nobody speaks. We're afraid to make mistakes. We're afraid to, lose our face. But let me tell you, one day at the kingdom, the face doesn't count. The face will keep you from entering into the kingdom. The face is safe. Your dignity, your niceness. We were taught early on to get rid of all of that. We just care for the Lord.
Amen.
We just care for the saints.
Amen.
Speak. We just care for our spirit.
Amen.
Speak. 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 All right? We need to get our mouth working again in the local churches. All right, next.
This kind of speaking enlivens.
Amen.
This kind of speaking
refreshes. Amen.
This kind of speaking makes people
new.
Amen.
This kind of speaking makes people
strong and happy.
Amen.
And this kind of speaking imparts life to others.
Amen.
It dispenses the triune God into the listener.
Amen.
This kind of speaking is a strong testimony
of the Lord's recovery.
Amen.
Now, I'm not expecting this to happen tomorrow or the next month, but if we start today, I believe in 6 months, Sacramento will be a different church.
Amen.
Trust me.
Yes.
And I'm not trusting in miracles.
Amen.
Just by law, it will happen.
Amen.
By practice. You know, these HIIT things, in 30 days, you can take a selfie and see the difference, the planks, the whole works. I do all those things. That's why I'm staying kind of okay, right? Especially in the beginning, when you're more advanced, maybe it's not easy to see the improvement, but especially when when you're not so fit, if you really do it, the results will be there. It's
right.
I'm not making this up. It's very parallel to the physical body
right.
and physical exercise to be healthy. All right. Okay, I hope one day in Sacramento the meetings will be full of this kind of speaking.
Amen.
Make people happy.
Amen.
Make people living,
Amen.
Oh, refreshing. There'll be a strong testimony in the church in Sacramento. Okay, let's read 5. We serve in newness of spirit and not in oldness of flesh. Okay, sister, next, quickly.
We need to learn not only to walk, to live in the spirit,
yeah,
but
also
to
serve
in the spirit and to serve in the
newness
of the spirit.
Next.
We need to learn to
choose a hymn in the spirit.
Amen.
We should not choose a hymn for a meeting according to our mind.
No.
But according to the inner feeling of our spirit.
Amen.
See, when your spirit is so exercised, your spirit is humming, humming, humming. I tell you, that spirit gives you a lot of feeling. This song, that hymn, that chorus. See, this morning I led a number of choruses, didn't I? I'm not performing, right, Nat? I'm not performing. But since no one is doing it, I'm going to do it. And that didn't, on my mind, I didn't know. The spirit, oh, that chorus just comes. That seemed to follow the flow. I tell you, we don't have enough of this, so our meetings is a drag. No one initiates. No one dare to do anything. And everything is just dying, 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 dying. You see. So this is not right. The more you exercise the spirit, the more your spirit is sensitized.
Amen.
Very, very full of feeling. Okay, next.
We need to learn to minister the word in the spirit.
Yes.
We need to learn the lesson, not just to speak according to our knowledge.
Right.
But learn to act and serve according to the inmost feeling.
Amen.
Serve in the spirit and according to the spirit.
Amen. Amen. Next.
We need to learn to offer a prayer in the spirit.
Amen.
We should not pray according to knowledge or routine.
Amen.
When we come together to pray, we need to exercise our spirit.
Amen.
To sense the inner
anointing.
Amen. We should pray according to the innermost feeling of the anointing.
Amen. I sometimes don't know all if all the saints know even what anointing is. In experience. I tell you, when you don't have the anointing, you don't have the Lord's presence. The anointing is simply the moving of the Spirit within us. And it's always moving. But when you exercise your spirit, you intensify that moving. And when you don't exercise the spirit, you what? You quench that moving. Like, there's no anointing. Actually, there is anointing. But you don't experience it because your spirit is cold and not burning. You see, when things are icy and cold, nothing works. But when they're defrosted, am I right? When they are hot, things start to work. Things start to flow. Okay, next, please.
We need to learn to visit the saints in the spirit.
Yes.
Our
yes.
Looking to the Lord.
Yes.
And while we are listening to them,
amen.
We need to fellowship with the Lord.
Amen.
And to sense both what is in their spirit.
Amen.
And what is the anointing in our spirit.
Amen.
All these are points of serving the Lord in the churches. And all of them has to do with the exercise of our spirit. Next.
We need to learn to preach the gospel in the spirit.
Amen.
Preaching merely according to knowledge of the gospel.
Right.
Amen.
That's why
we are speaking.
We need to
forget
about our knowledge and come back to the spirit.
Amen.
In the spirit.
Amen. Okay, last.
Only by exercising our spirit can we serve God in newness of spirit.
Amen.
And only then can we please God.
Amen.
In the old days, our meetings, every meeting is like an adventure. Because you don't know what will happen.
Right.
Nowadays, I know exactly what will happen. And it's not good. It was adventuresome. Because the Spirit leads and moves in such a way that is not programmable. That is not, you know what I mean? The Spirit is living. And there's a lot to experience here of how the Spirit move in the members, in the matter of prayer, in the matter of praise, that eventually it can be coordinated together into what? Into a huge big meal that satisfies us and satisfies God, which is what the real meaning of a Christian meeting is. It's a feast for God and for man.
Amen.
A feast of Christ.
Amen.
Brothers and sisters, will you do it?
Amen.
All right. Please do it and change the church.
Amen.
Be empowered.
Amen.
In the grace.
Amen.
All right. All right. I stop here. We need to go to the airport. I don't know what you do now. I leave you to
be empowered.
Amen.